Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we celebrated the second Sunday of Lent, and so it's about time to ask us, are we really entering into this season with faith, with trusting God, with a willingness to come before Him and say, Lord, what impedes me from being truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? What holds me back? What has the power to rob my faith? What in my life could lead me astray? What do I need to do about it? How clearly am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's essential, brothers and sisters, it's essential that we answer that question for ourselves. No one else can answer it. Only you know the inner workings of your heart and mind. Sometimes they're difficult to decipher. Sometimes they're a jumble. But we know what the predominant faults and weaknesses are. We know perhaps what our strengths are. They are equally important. But right here during Lent is a time to say, what is taking me away from God? What is deluding my discipleship? Please be honest with yourself. Today is the feast of the chair of St. Peter, and I know that could be a cause for humor. What do you mean we're celebrating a chair? Well, this is the explanation, and it's a combination of Pope Benedict and also a major author, Ronald Knox. This is how it's been interpreted or understood. The chair represents the Pope's mission. The chair, it's a sign, a symbol of the Pope's mission as guide of the entire people of God. Celebrating the chair of Peter means attributing a strong spiritual significance to it and recognizing it as a privileged sign of the love of God, that God would give that kind of authority to a human being, that we could be guided in a very compelling and particular way. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, of course, comes from the Latin Petra, which is rock. Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. God would put such trust in us, weak though we are, sinful though we are, the many mistakes that we make, as long as we turn back to Him each time and give our lives to Him again. He will draw us very close to Himself, and as He did with Peter, He will use him for the glory of the Father. There could be no greater blessing in life than to be used by God. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that no tempests may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. Let me repeat that, the prayer for today. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that no tempests may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. And we'll read about that more in the gospel. The first reading is actually taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ, and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing it not by constraint, but willingly as God would have it, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. Listen to that. Tend the flock of God in your midst. So are we called to tend the flock in our care, our family, wider family, relatives, parishioners, co-workers. We're called in, not as Peter, but we're called in a sense of whatever is the sphere of our personal influence, the sphere of our authority, tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing it not by constraint, but willingly as God would have it, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. Do your co-workers find you an example? Do your children? Do your fellow parishioners? Wherever your sphere of influence is, do people find you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's what God will do for us. He will give us his glory. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. We can help people come to Christ insofar as we have accepted Christ as our shepherd. And if our role in the body of Christ involves shepherding, we really need to be leaning upon the Lord as our shepherd and imitating him, following in his footsteps. We do not have authority over people except insofar as it has been given us by Christ. Our role in the family, our role in parish, our role in the church, even in a certain sense, even if secular, our role in our workplace. What does God want of me there? How can I reveal or show forth the qualities of the good shepherd? Take some time today with Psalm 23 and thank God for each of those things that he is for you. Think about that. Then also ask him how he wants to use you for the sake of others. And now we look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Do you understand, brothers and sisters, Jesus is asking us that question through this gospel. Who do you say that I am? See, when Jesus first asked the question, you notice that the disciples don't answer personally. They say, well, some say this and others say this. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets, they say this. But they don't say what they think. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Isn't that true of us when we're uncertain or we don't know what to do? Well, so-and-so says you're this or that. We try to deflect the question from us personally. And Jesus doesn't allow that. He brings us back to the center. Who do you say that I am? And brothers and sisters, as you listen to this program today, you need to allow Jesus to ask you that question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, oh God bless Peter. Right or wrong, Peter's going to step up to the plate. He sees where the Lord's going and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He put into words what had probably been whispered about and questioned and pondered among many. It's Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you," it was because Peter was willing to publicly confess. He was willing to take the stand alone and profess who God was. And he says, "I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock," Petra, rock, Peter, "upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. He knows our weakness, brothers and sisters, but he hears the faith in Peter. Peter's willing to step up and stand out with the faith. How strong is your faith? I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's why the authority of priests and bishops is so important, because it is God himself who gave them that authority. Whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's awesome, awesome participation in the very ministry of Christ himself. Pray for your priest. Pray for your pastor. It's so easy. It's so easy, isn't it, for all of us to not totally lose sight of, but it's so easy not to operate out of the reality of who we are and who we're called to be, whether it be priest or a member of a parish, a Catholic along with millions of other Catholics. Every single one of us, brothers and sisters, stands out before the face of God. He sees that any act of faith on our part toward God, any realization of who we really are in Christ, any way that we treat others, think of that in this year of mercy, God knows it and God honors it. He doesn't want us to carry our sin to the grave. He wants us to be free of it. Please repent where you need to. You don't need to carry that weight. God doesn't want you to carry that kind of weight. Brothers and sisters, there is so much that God wants to do for us, but we have to first allow him to take care of us. Because when we reach out to others, we can't be reaching out in our own strength and power. It's very limited. It's actually weak. And we're never quite sure if we're going in the right direction, at least in some ways. But if we depend on the Lord, rely on the Lord, put our faith in him and our trust in him, then we're like an open book, in a sense, before the face of God. He can write his word on our heart. And he can show us the direction he wants us to go, so that many others, through you and through me, can find Christ. God took incredible risk in entrusting to us, to Peter and to his successors, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He entrusted to us the call to discipleship, to respond to that call, to add to the numbers of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. He put out the invitation. Have you actually directly accepted it? Lord, I am your son. I am your daughter. I desire to follow you all the days of my life. I desire to be your disciple, to listen to your word, and to follow you as closely as I can. May that be the prayer of your heart. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.